Good morning, Jesus people.
Good morning, Jesus people.
Welcome to another episode of Mornings with the Montagues. We are here today. We're going to do it. Today's verses, Genesis 41, 41 through 52. And our title today, An Unbelieving Spouse and God's Plans. And so before we read this, I want to talk about a testimony that we had while we were working and living in São Paulo in ministry. We went to a service. On the way to the service, I felt Louise in my heart. And I was asking Marcelli, am I crazy? Am I crazy for having this word in my heart? And I'm supposed to tell this Louise, if there's a Louise at the service, that God loves him, he sees him, and he hears him. And she's like, no. What was your response for that?
I said, if God is talking to you, speaking to your heart, you have to obey.
And so we went to the service. And at the end of the service, I asked if there's a Louise there. And some guy, yes, I'm Louise. And so I gave this word that I believed was for him. And at the end of the service, a woman asked us to go and eat at her house. And we're like, great, cool, I'm hungry. So this sounds good. Sometimes this is normal. People invite us to their house after we preach to just meet or have dinner or whatever. And we go to this woman's house. She took us by foot to her house. We walked to her house and Louise is there. It's Louise's wife. Louise's wife invited us to their house to eat dinner. And we got to pray with him and talk with him. And that gave him an opportunity to give feedback for the word that we gave him. And it was amazing because when we get feedback, it just confirms so much more of what God spoke to us. And so he confirmed, I haven't been believing in God a lot lately. I've been doubting God a lot. I really feel like he's skipping over me. He misses me. He doesn't pay attention to me. And that word that you gave, that God sees me, hears me, and loves me, just put me right back on the right track and remember that God loves me. And so it was so cool. And so in that situation, the unbelieving spouse in that situation was Louise. He was doubting God. He was doubting the ability of God. And through that word that God put on our hearts, Louise, just a simple word as we were going to the service. And I had the courage to say it, even if it was going to be crazy, right?
God, a simple word.
God reached him.
It's a name. Yeah. The name of a beloved person.
Yeah. So it was really cool. That was a cool experience. So Marcelli's going to read our verses today. Genesis 41, 45. And good luck because there are some awesome names here. Like Louise. No, I'm just kidding.
No. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephanath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, to be his wife.
All right. And to go back a little bit about this story, Joseph is now in charge of Egypt with Pharaoh. He's second in command. And everything that Pharaoh was given in that time was increasing. And so, of course, this is after the situation with Potiphar and his wife, where he went to prison. And then he came out and gave the visions of the dreams of Pharaoh, right? He gave those dreams. And then there was a famine coming into the land. And so through this situation, Pharaoh gave Joseph his daughter, a pagan woman, as his wife. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Joseph is a man of God. We saw this from the previous story of Joseph, but now he's married with a pagan woman. And so this is where we are when we are reading this devotional today. We would all like an Einstein or Rosa Parks in the family lineage. We're less proud of the rebels in the family. And every family has at least one or two of those. I might have been one of those. You're definitely the rebel in your family because you're the only child.
No, I was a good girl.
Joseph introduced a whopper into his lineage when he married a pagan woman. Granted, she was given to him by his boss, Egypt's Pharaoh. Granted, Joseph lived a couple hundred miles away from the people who believed in the one true God. So isn't that interesting? He was far away from the people that believed in the same things that he did. And he was persuaded to be married with a pagan woman. That's interesting. But he really went out on a limb when he married this woman, daughter of the priest of On in the cult of Ra, the sun god of Egypt. Literally a pagan woman. The wonder is that God can work through anyone, redeeming families regardless of ancestry, poor choices, and bad marriages. For example, my brother and his wife were used by God to redeem the marriages of two of their children. When my brother's two sons chose unbelieving wives and conceived babies before the wedding, my brother chose not to condemn them. Instead, he purposefully spent 2 days with each couple, offering them the opportunity to accept God's grace, be forgiven, and start their marriages on the right track. As a result, both wives became Christians. We don't yet see the long-term implications of those redemptions, but we know that the six children of those marriages are being given a Christian upbringing. What if the wives have not become believers? It would have been more difficult, but still important, for the believing husbands to have introduced their children to Christ. Joseph knew Yahweh was the one and only true God. He was taught that in his childhood, but because his brothers had sold him into slavery, Joseph spent the rest of his life in Egypt, surrounded by unbelievers. When Joseph had been given a wife by the ruler of Egypt, he could hardly have refused. God works his plan no matter what. Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. We know Joseph raised his children to follow God because their descendants were ultimately welcomed into the tribes of Israel. You mentioned that earlier when we were reading the verses. By the time the Israelites entered the Promised Land, the census of men in the tribe of Manasseh who were able to serve in the army numbered 52,700. See Numbers 26:34. Some of the daughters of that tribe successfully crusaded into the right to receive land as their inheritance. Numbers 27:1-11. I remember that story too. Ephraim's big claim to fame, although it took 400 years to come about, was producing Joshua, who led the Israelites into the Promised Land. Families matter because all people matter to God. Yet, God redeems people one by one, working his plan throughout generations. The children God gives us today will play roles in the future that we can't even imagine. Like Joseph, our job is to raise our children to know and trust the one and true only God. It is only our responsibility to lead them to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. There is no better legacy to give to future generations. Wow. Yeah, God can work through anyone. He can use those broken families, just like the situation with Joseph and his wife, and he can redeem and he can make them into the great nation that Israel was later, and the tribes that they had, and Manasseh and Ephraim and all of those things that happened. I mean, look at the generation, the lineage that happened from that.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the sin was there, even though the sin started even before Joseph, right? And his father and all of the things we've been following along in our devotionals here. It's very, very interesting. So we have some questions here. Question number one, name some people in our families who are instrumental in leading us to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In what ways do they influence us?
I think my mom, she put her knees on the ground to pray because she was worried about me, honestly, because I was a hard teenager, not to go out and come back late, and never did that. I didn't even go out, but I had a very suicidal thoughts. So she was very, very worried with the words I spoke, and also my anger. I was very angry and grumpy. I didn't want to talk to anyone, so I think depressive. So she started praying, and she started saying, "You need Jesus, you need Jesus," which was something that I never heard. She took me to her church, but I didn't understand much there. I didn't pay attention so much because I felt judged when I went there and I didn't feel good. But later, God called me, right? And to go to another church where I felt welcomed. She definitely influenced me by her prayers, not with her words because I didn't want to hear her, to listen to her, but she prayed over me. And that was an example.
Yeah. I was on a podcast the other day. I was being interviewed and the guy asked me the same question. And I said, one of my grandmas, because she always did devotionals with me as I was growing up. And even though I knew I was going to go and do crazy things later, she invested in me. She just wanted to plant that seed, you know? And so I'm so grateful for that because looking back now, I can see that she really invested in my life, even though she knew some of the things I were doing weren't accepted, you know, weren't good things. She still took that time to invest in me and speak into my life. And she always told me, "Dallas, you're going to be somebody special one day. Dallas, you're going to be a pastor one day. Dallas, you're..." And I was like, wow, grandma, thank you for saying all those things to me because I believed it, you know, mm-hmm. And it made me who I am today by her kind words and her devotion to me. So that's amazing.
Yeah, she was a strong believer, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She is.
Number two, what other people helped nurture our faith?
There's an old woman here in my city. Her name is Clara, and she definitely tried to take me to her church, which is the one that I end up going. And she prayed for me, like, for many years, and for my mom, for my whole family. And she's such a sweet woman. And then other people, a school friend, she took me to the church, to the same church. And, yeah, that's it.
Also, my parents' pastor, he also took that time and invested in me, too. Or after school, he would come to my house, and he's like, hey, we're going to read the Bible. I'm like, okay. And he had all these little Sharpies, you know, like, this color represents God's word. This color Sharpie means, you know, God is speaking, you know, like, interesting things. And I was not ready to receive that yet. But I do remember him coming to my house and wanting to do the Bible, read the Bible with me. And that was cool, too.
Yeah. When I entered in the church, then the people invested in me and all the teens at that time, because I was a teenager. And the pastor invested a lot of time with me and other teens to disciple us, mm-hmm. and to teach us the Bible. And also some leaders, some women, that they were just great, great, great. They walked with us, and we could tell everything we were going through to these leaders, to these women, and they would pray with us. It was such a cozy moment, like, so good.
And post Jesus, of course, many mentors and people.
Yeah, many
mentors. Guided and led us.
Yes.
It's so important to have
God,
these people.
Many pastors, many women of God into my path.
And our final question for today, what people in our families remain distant from God? What are some things we might do to bring them to the Lord? Well, obviously, this is something that's being recorded today, so we're going to be intentional about what we say on this area, but we are intentionally praying for many, many family members, cousins, friends, lots and lots of people that we know who are not believers. We're praying for them to become set free and to know the Lord, and to know the Lord like we know the Lord. And because when you do, when you give God a chance, He changes your life, and transformation happens, salvation happens, all of these wonderful things. And so we are definitely praying.
And healing.
Healing. We are praying for these people because we love them. We want them to come to the Lord. And this is something that we often say when we're preaching and doing ministry as well, is that if you know one person in your life that doesn't know Christ, pray for them. Continue to pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Be a testimony to them, you know, live your life in a way that they can see the good things of God in your life. And so we are intentional with this area. I think, of course, we can always do better, but we intentionally pray and invest time thinking about these people and their relationship with God. Absolutely. What I want to highlight, we've been doing this for over a week now. We've been reading through Genesis. We're almost to the end of the book of Genesis. And look at the stories that we've read. Look at the lineage that's happened. We go from Adam and Eve. We go to
Jacob.
We look through all the different stories of just like the ups and downs and the ups and downs.
Yeah, we're gonna struggle through the whole Bible,
and we're gonna keep going. But just God is still good. It doesn't matter what good thing is happening. It doesn't matter what bad thing is happening. God is still God. And we can always turn to Him with our pain, with our suffering, with our joy, with our laughter. I mean, that was a story, right? That they laughed at God. Like, God, this is funny. We're too old to have kids, you know? Like, it's interesting, all of these stories that we're reading. So stay tuned. Join us. We have a lot to get through. God willing, we will do it. I'm excited. We are happy to do this together. And so thank you guys again for joining us for another episode. We're going to pray to end today. Read the verses, Genesis 41 through 52, read about the story of Joseph and how he was married to a pagan woman and how that affected their lineage. So let's pray.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this morning that we can come together and spend time in devotional. I pray over all the families that are listening today that are represented here today, all the homes that they can have the presence of God, they can have peace and joy. Lord, and I pray for all of the unbelieving spouses, all the unbelieving parents, children, grandparents, cousins, everybody in the family who is not a believer. Lord, I pray that you can speak to them, move in their hearts, Lord, take the blinders off, take the scales off of their eyes, Lord. This is something only that you can do. And I pray that the people around them can invest and sow seed into them, that whenever one day they will become a believer in you. And I pray for the people who are waiting forever and waiting for their spouse to become a Christian. I pray that this person can be encouraged to just keep being a testimony. Just keep being a testimony for this person. Keep loving them. Keep showing them the grace of God, the mercy of God, and that one day they will be convinced of the goodness of God. Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.